Right, so this morning, I want to sort of end off the To Know series, To Know God a bit better. And like I said before, the purpose of this series is for us to understand God better, if we can, to get a greater revelation with Him, to walk differently with Him, to allow Him to minister to us, to speak to us, but for also for us to grow in boldness as we walk in life. You see, because so often we can look at ourselves and who we are and disqualify ourselves that we are not good enough, you know, I'm not anointed enough, or whatever your excuse is, not for being bold for Jesus. And when we know Him better, we know that it is Him in us. It is not me. And as we walk before Him, you know, and I have such a desire, as we've been working through this, just to know God more intimately, but not just to know Him, to see the expression of His glory and power through my life in this earth right now. You know, we are called for a time such as this. We have been set apart. You didn't, weren't born by chance. You know, if you were to be born in the 1800s, you would have been born there. You know, but you were born here right now. And this is such an opportunity for us, the children of the living God, to walk with Him in this time. And may we stop, can I say, judging ourselves and saying, I'm not good enough, you know? And can we maybe chuck away some of that feelings and pursue God and in the smallest way, just trust Him. Just walk with Him. Don't, you know, because we're funny people. We always want to raise the dead first. Nah? You know, we want to pray for the guy in the wheelchair and see him get up. That's the miracles we want to see. But maybe you should pray for a cough first or a headache. And see that headache. I've seen many headaches disappear. I've seen nausea go. Colds and flus dissolve in the day. I've seen many things. So let's kind of trust God where we're at. So that hopefully, in the, you know, by January 2023, we'll have people that have been raising dead. You see, and now you're all going, sure, it's a bit much, eh? Isn't it funny how we can so easily think it shouldn't be me? Come on. So, this morning we're going to look at El Shaddai. And this disclaimer maybe has got nothing to do with El Shaddai school where my wife works. And so many of your children are, well, not many of your children, some of your children are attending that school and other people are teachers there too that's in this church, you know. My hat, I think we're having a slight hostile takeover at El Shaddai. Yeah, but it's a privilege to have teachers who influence the next generation that serve God with us. So when we look at El Shaddai, I must say there's a bit of discussion between the clever people as to the exact meaning of El Shaddai. Now, generally, it's interpreted as mighty. In other words, God Almighty. Now, I just want you just think of that word, just God Almighty. So what does it mean to you when He is God Almighty? Just for a moment. Maybe even in the light of stuff that you are facing with, what does it change? What is it challenge? What happens in your brain when you think that He is God Almighty? Almighty God. What does the word Almighty stir in your heart and in your spirit? Because I cannot think about that and let everything just stay the same, can I? If He is Almighty, all-powerful, then something has to change in me. For one, I think slightly more bold. Not bold. You know, let's just make that clear. But it should change the way that I walk, the way that I engage things, the way that I trust Him. The second suggested root meaning of El Shaddai is overpowerer. In other words, the God that God will do what He purposes to do, and overpowering all opposition. He's the overpowerer. In other words, there's nothing that can come against Him that will prevail. He will overpower anything and everything, and His purposes will stand. Now again, pause, think, Selah. Meditate upon it. What does it mean to your life when He is God, the overpowerer? That no opposition that comes against Him can overpower Him. That He just walks over it. You know, do you remember Jonah Lomo? Man. I never disliked the man so much. Because if he had the ball, I mean, you just saw guys flying. He ran, and for those that don't know, he was this big dude that played for the New Zealanders, for the All Blacks, and that already is bad enough. So now we walk on the field, and I remember those first few games when Jonah Lomu started playing. Nah? I mean, he gets the ball, he runs and he scores a try. Then everything resets. He gets the ball, he runs and he scores. We didn't have an answer for him. It was for the older folk now, Nas Bota and his boot. I mean, if Nas gets the ball, he boots it, and somewhere he gets it with Ipala or something. He was annoying. So much more our God when He is God, the overpowerer. Just think how frustrated the devil must be. I mean, he does this, then God just goes through him, over him. He just overpowers him. There's nothing the devil can do, no amount of flex, no amount of tantrum, no amount of his power that he wants to display that can hinder El Shaddai. At least that's what it does for me. And then some interpret El Shaddai as sufficient. The all-sufficient one. Okay, pause. The all-sufficient. He's sufficient. In actual fact, he's more than sufficient. He's the all-sufficient one. He's more than enough. I need nothing else when I have El Shaddai in my life. Now, if that's the meaning of the name of God, it describes in so much detail who He is. It breaks open for me stuff in the New Testament. When I see the Spirit of God just comes upon me, more so than what it was in the Old Testament, and the Spirit of the Lord dwells in me, and the overpowering, almighty, all-sufficient God lives in me, and everything changes. It cannot, should not stay the same. Now, what is the most, you don't have to tell me, but what is the most incredible encounter you have had with the Lord so far in your life? Just think of it. What was that moment, you know, maybe where you got a revelation, or when you encountered God and you felt, wow, you know, I really experienced God in this moment. What is that moment in your life? Because I see in Scripture a lot of moments. And in particular, we're going to read in Genesis 17 this morning, Abram's encounter with this God, with El Shaddai. He says this, when Abram was 99 years old, that's young. Let's just get that ready now, today. Okay, that's young. Scripture says at least 120. Okay, so you're slightly old. Any 99-year-olds here this morning? Some of us are acting like we're 99. In any case, let's just leave that there now. Okay, right. The bien, and the kirch, and the... Come on. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am. When God starts like that already, you know, I am God Almighty. And then he instructs him. He says, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and I may multiply you greatly. And Abraham fell on his face. We sang about this earlier. When we behold God, we should have the same response as Abraham. He fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Who here would agree with me? 99 years old. God pitches and he gives you a promise like that. What would your first thought be in that moment? I am 99 years old, Lord. My word. How is this possible? He lived till 175, by the way. 99 years old. You see, because now he has this encounter with God. And God says to him, man, I've got this awesome plan for you. Even though you're old in years, the all-sufficient one, the overpowering one, doesn't even look at the age. He goes, man, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to have lots of kids. And Abraham thinking, oh, 99. That's a lot of early mornings and late nights, nappies, etc. Lord, what are you saying? How long is this going to continue? Okay? So I want to firstly just make it clear here that your age, whether old or young, has got no bearing on God's promises. It doesn't enhance it and it doesn't hinder it. Maybe when you're younger, you see, the thing is, when we're younger, we think, yes, man, I got fire. But so often when we're younger, we run away from the Lord. Or we run faster than Him. When we're older, we need some shock therapy to get us going. But your age has not got no bearing on the promises of God. Because He is El Shaddai. And when God comes to him now, He says to him, walk before me and be blameless. And then verse 6 of chapter 17 in Genesis, he says this, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make you into nations. And kings shall come from you. Now I think if I was him, I wouldn't, Lord, that's too much. You say kings are coming from me, nations. Sounds like a bit of a far-fetched promise. In actual fact, if you think of it, Abraham did not see the fulfillment of the promise. He's not here today. Because we are the seed. We are the descendants of this man of faith. That God made a promise to and said, man, your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. I'm going to take us all next weekend for a field trip. And we're going to sit on Bloberg and we're going to count some sand. Just to get a... Maybe next time when you're on the beach, korolki for korolki. 1, 2. Okay, you'll have to probably get a tooth, what do you call it? A tweezer. I'll have to have a pair of groot glas. But get a thought. God says to him, nations are going to come from you. Kings. They will be many. And you are 99 years old. What a promise. You see, and sometimes when we encounter God and He makes a promise, we shrink back. We wonder what's going to happen. Let's get back to Scripture. And He says, you know, God starts off and He goes and He introduces Himself as I am God Almighty. So He sets the tone immediately when He comes to Abram. He doesn't come say, hey, Abram, champ, have you had a good day? Yes, it's awesome to meet you, man. It's like, have you seen the sheep? Eh? They're doing well. No, God comes to him. And I would love to have been in that moment where God comes and He says, I am God Almighty. Here's Abraham face to face. And God introduces Himself as God Almighty. And He does this right before He's about to declare to him an incredible promise. So the fulfillment of the promise is not in the power of the promise. It is in the introduction of Him who made the promise. So God already sets that tone. He says, I am God Almighty. And I'm about to tell you some things that's going to happen. And it will happen simply because I am God Almighty. Not because you're going to be so olic. Not because you're going to, you know, the land that you're living in, you know, the amount of sheep or whatever that you have, that's not going to determine. You don't even have a descendant at this time, but I'm promising you, you're going to have a lot. And it's because I am God Almighty. You see, he's saying, whatever is going to follow here is possible because I am Almighty God. But then there's a condition. And he says to him, walk before me and be blameless. In other words, Abraham, position yourself continually in my presence and before me. Do not leave the space that I have prepared for you in before me. Stay here. Walk with me. Watch your actions. Don't follow the flesh. Trust me. Allow me to teach you and to walk with you. So, you see, when I'm walking with someone, I'm not alone. I'm walking with Lorette. I'm walking with Lorette. Now, what now? You see, sometimes we go, God says, walk before me. And we go, yes, Father. And we walk before Him. And then we get here and we go, what's wrong? God, where are you? Oh, sorry. And they go, why did you leave me, Lord? Like He didn't know where He's going. Yeah. Sometimes we are arrogant, okay? So he says to him, walk before me and be blameless. Then, that I may make a covenant between you and me. He didn't say, let us make a covenant. Do you notice that? That I may make a covenant. Because God knew Abraham will not be able to uphold his side of the covenant. So it's all on him. He takes full responsibility for the fulfillment of the covenant in that moment. And I want to say to you that this invitation to walk before God is still resounding today. It's still out there. God is still saying to us, walk before me and be blameless. He's inviting you and me on a walking journey. Not a sprint. If you're going to sprint, you're going to have to come back because it's a walking journey. And so many times, you know, when you have a promise of God, I mean, Abraham could have gone to Sarah right there and say, honey, the Lord is saying, man, girl, we have to do this now every night, morning, noon, and night. This is, the sentence is coming. Baby, brace yourself. I know. I am discipling them. You see, it was not meant for him to fulfill anything. And for us, the promises that God has spoken over you, the plans he has for you, is hidden in the walk with before me and be blameless. And it is possible. The things that he wants to do in your life is possible because he is El Shaddai. I can think of a specific moment in Scripture where this invitation comes. And you all know this invitation. And it's Matthew 28, 18. And it says, all authority. I'll just hear God saying, all authority. All authority. In heaven and on earth. Jesus speaking. He's saying, man, all authority. There is no authority above me. I have received all the authority in heaven and on earth is mine. It's been given to me. Therefore, go. You see, we can walk before him. We can do the go. Because all authority belongs to him. He is El Shaddai. He is Almighty God. He's the overpowering, all-sufficient God. All right, so here's the thing. Every promise that you have received from God is possible because he is El Shaddai. He is the one that will bring it to pass. But so often, we look at ourselves and we go, Kobus, I don't know enough. You know, I don't know. I can't quote this Bible chapter and verse, you know, Genesis to Revelation. Maybe you don't even know how many books there is in the Bible. Can I just tell you that when we walk before him, he leads us and he guides us and his anointing steers us. We just have to position ourselves where God wants to encounter us and allow us to grow. Many of the promises that we have received seems impossible and unattainable. Just wait. Just wait. Sometimes you have to wait a while. And it becomes difficult because now we don't know why the promise is lingering. But just wait. El Shaddai will bring it to pass. And if you've given up on the promises that God has promised you, I want to encourage you just to go get them out again. If you do not have promises from God, then please change your proximity to him, to his people. Position yourself where people can help you receive those promises that God has in store for you. Now, I want to just look at a couple of scriptures quickly. Matthew 17 verse 20 says this. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Why? Because he is El Shaddai. You can go read this encounter in Scripture. But you see, God is inviting them here into that intimate place where faith expresses itself in the daily life. Not because you are so powerful, but because you are walking with El Shaddai. Matthew 19:26 says this, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" See, and again, you're going to go read the context, but even in this, you know, Jesus, when he looks at them, he goes, you see, he doesn't look to man, to man's ability to bring things to pass. He looks to El Shaddai, Almighty God, the one who overpowers everything, that can just simply move forward. Mark 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at him and said, again, the same thing, and this is the different renditions. Jesus looked at him and said, with man it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And I want to stress that with. It's not just possible with him because he is God, but it's possible because I am with him. I am walking with him. Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Do not limit God by your small earthly brain. Stop it. Surrender your thinking. You know, maybe to him, it is thinking. Why? Because it does not honor him. It does not believe him. It's not in faith in him. It's rooted in doubt, in your own insecurities, your insufficiencies, your tekortkominge. Call him what you want. But we fail to engage God because we think too much. And we are not being renewed by Scripture. Luke 18:27 says, but he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, in our modern culture, we fail to proclaim the power of El Shaddai. In actual fact, we will talk much easier about the love of God than the power of God. You see, because I think we feel guilty because we're not living in that power of God. I can talk about the love and the grace and the mercy and all of that, but each one of us fail to talk about the power of God and push into it and press into it. May that change today for each one of us, me included. That we walk in the power of God. That will be demonstrated. You see, we serve a God who can turn the hearts of kings and people. You see, we don't need a new government. We need the believers to walk in the power of God, to impact the government and all spheres of life, and things will shift. Because he is El Shaddai. He is El Shaddai. That's the God who we serve. Not the God who is far off. Not a God who did something in Azusa Street a couple of years ago. He's God right now. Here, Shofar Brackenfell. He is the Lord God Almighty right here, right now. Not from this pulpit, from this. Each one of us walking with El Shaddai. We must not allow little faith to hinder us. Little faith. That's what Jesus accuses them of. You of little faith. If we could, this would be interesting, but if we can sort of see the faith, you know, have a thermometer, a faith thermometer over each one of our heads. Okay, scrap that one. For us as a congregation, is that better? So that you can hide. What will our faith level look like at the moment? Are we so looking at what's happening around us, our finances or families, you know, the world, the government, and everything that we fail to walk with and walk before El Shaddai? Have we become distracted? Did we receive a lie from the enemy that our God is not able to do stuff right now? Are we willing to trust with Him? See, the Lord God Almighty is our God. Well, He's my God. Is He your God? He's the all-sufficient one. The one who is enough. He is more than sufficient to meet any need. Anything that you need, He will provide. He is power and provision. In great compassion, He sustains, nourishes, and protects you and me. He takes my weakness and He gives it strength. He takes my inadequate resources, and in His almighty power, He just does stuff for His purposes. See, I come with my fish and my bread, and I go, I don't have much, and then He feeds the multitudes. I come with my limited abilities, and He does incredible stuff with it. Why? Because He is El Shaddai. So I think what needs to change is that we seek Him in such a way that He reveals more of Himself to us right now. How desperate are we to walk with God in this way? Can I just tell you, that promise to one man changed the world. And now we can think of a few others, but just to Abram, we are here. Jesus in His lineage, and etc. So many incredible things have happened because of El Shaddai. And I want to say to you, it's not over. It doesn't end until we're done. Until we breathe our last. We still have the ability in Christ, in God Almighty, to make a difference. May you see God Almighty in your life as He moves. May God who overpowers all opposition work in your life. May He even overpower the own opposition in your own heart. The all-sufficient one, you don't need more than Him. May you experience Him in a real way as you walk before Him. May our Christianity not just be a religious one, but may we see the power of El Shaddai revealed in each one of our lives. Take, even this morning, maybe your doubts and your fears to the throne. Like Abram, meet with Him so that He can speak into your life and that things can change. You are not Olic enough to make things different, to change it. All your efforts will flop unless it's rooted deep within that relationship with Him. Let's pray.